WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Oi!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome to 94.1 FM, 3WBC. We're back again for an episode of VFL Rewind. Massive round of VFL just gone. Absolute monster round. Few big games. There was a big game down at Frankston with Brisbane versus Frankston. There was also big game on TV yesterday, Port Melbourne versus Geelong. And obviously a lot of Indigenous jumpers as well over the weekend. So it was a good celebration with Indigenous round. Some teams participating as well. It's coaches night tonight on the VFL Rewind. We've got three great coaches, and as per usual, I'm joined in the studio by Peter Lausche. Welcome to VFL Rewind.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Yeah, definitely a great week of VFL footy. And here's a stat, and you work out who I got this stat from. It's the first time in many years that we've got two teams on the bottom of the ladder with zero wins after 10 rounds. Have a think about it.
First time it's happened, and it's Coburg and Sydney.
It's not the first time it's happened, but it's for many, many years, Frankston and Bendigo.
Until that's right, 2002.
Yeah, so it was Robber who gave me that stat the other day. So when we want trivia questions, we know where we go to.
We always ask Robbo. He's a man of the town. He knows everything, Robbo.
Yeah, well, he's actually sort of unofficial producer of this show.
He is. He lets us know lots going on around the traps, that's for sure. We've got three special guests on tonight. We've got, as I said, Coaches Night. Steve Daniels, Senior Coach of Southport Footy Club. Danny Ryan, Senior Coach of Frankston Footy Club. And for our VFL Legend segment, he had a great career at VFL level before he come over to the AFL level at Fremantle, then he ended up at Gold Coast, Mick Barlow. So looking forward to chatting to Mick a little bit later on as well.
Yeah, no, it'll be very interesting having a chat to him, because one thing I would love to find out with Mick Barlow is he was at Werribee for about 2 or 3 years under the noses of North Melbourne during the alignment years, and how they didn't grab him earlier, and then Fremantle and the Gold Coast benefited from his talent. Remember his very first game, I think he got 28 disposals for Freo, so they obviously knew talent when they saw it, but North Melbourne, they held back.
Yeah, they held back, and they seen him probably every week, or recruiters or someone from the football department, teammates would have said, why aren't we drafting this bloke? And hindsight's a wonderful thing, but... Freo got the spoils in the end. He had a great career. I think he won a few Ross Glendening medals as well. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah.
He had that awful broken leg for a while and came back from that. And, Mick probably could still play VFL football these days. He's that fit. I see him occasionally go for his runs down Mason Street in Newport. So, he may be in his mid-30s, but he'd be fit enough to play.
Oh, definitely. Let's get stuck straight into the results. Gone from the weekend, Lausche, if you want to kick us off.
Yeah, Friday afternoon at the SCG. At the SCG, not Tramway Oval.
Yeah, it's a rare one.
Finally, they've played a Coon Raiser VFL game at the SCG. Carlton had an easy win against the Swans, 17-8, 1-10, and the Swans 8-10, 58, 52-point win there. Werribee, the giant killers right now, took care of Gold Coast last week. Now they've taken care of the KC Demons, 16-10, 106 to KC, 12-6, 78. Up at TIO Stadium, Darwin, common sense prevailed. Again, a VFL Coon Raiser to the Gold Coast Western Bulldogs game up there. A very easy win to the Gold Coast Suns up there, 21-16, 142 to 10-17, 77.
How good are Gold Coast? They just keep on winning games.
They just keep on keeping on, don't they? I'll do the next game, and then I'll handball it over to you. at 5:10 p.m. on a Saturday night down in Moorabbin. The Sandringham Football Club had a comfortable win against the Coburg Lions, 15-13, 103-74-46. So good win to the Sandringham Zebras there. Nick Johnson would have been happy, and unfortunately it still anchors Coburg to the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, so they're still sitting on the bottom of the ladder. Good to see Sandy play a night game, twilight game. Semi-night. Yeah, it would have finished under light. So yep. I like it. We need to see more night games. Yep. It frustrates me when there's four games on at the same time in the VFL on a Sunday arvo or Saturday arvo.
Yep.
Mix them up. Give people options if they're playing local footy.
Yeah.
A night game as per usual down at Frankston, they played a night game and they had a really good crowd. So,
yep.
Well done to Sandy for looking. I guess outside what they normally do, and they normally being the kings of Sunday arvo footy. So, yep. Next one we had was it was a big game actually, and it was Brisbane versus Frankston. Frankston, 8:10:58 were defeated by Brisbane. 13:15:93. Brisbane, they just keep on getting good. I mean, when you've got Lions, we say it each week, Lions in that team, he should be in probably 16 other AFL clubs midfield. So just shows how good Brisbane are at VFL. The next one we had was Collingwood versus North. North 11:16:82 defeated Collingwood, 5:13:43. Probably expected. North are an improver this year in the VFL. They've got a lot of play availability, and they've got some good players. Next one we had was Geelong versus Port. Geelong 10:13:73 defeated Port 8:12:60. Geelong, starting to come good again. Yeah. They've been a bit up and down all year, Geelong, so great to see them get a win. And then Box Hill versus Essendon. Essendon 8:10:58 were defeated by Box Hill, 15:15:105. Box Hill are definitely the surprise packet. They're probably one of the better Melbourne teams at the moment, to be honest. They're playing some really good football. They've come up against some good teams, but they're going to be tested in the next few weeks. They come up two teams in the top six in Brisbane and also Williamstown as well.
Gold Coast isn't too far
away. Yeah, so they're going to be really tested in the next couple of weeks to know where they're at. They've had a few easy games, so to speak. So, Box Hill will definitely know where they're at.
Yep.
Just looking at the ladder, Brisbane's on top, undefeated. In seconds, Gold Coast 8-1, Box Hill's in third, 7-1. Werribee's in fourth, which no surprises there. Werribee started off really bad. They had two away games.
Yep.
Now they've bounced back. They're in fourth, 6-2. Casey in fifth, 6-3, and in top six, Willie 6-2 as well. So, well done to all the teams. Got a win on the weekend. Few results are probably a little bit surprising, especially the blowout in Darwin. I thought that was a bit of a blowout in the end.
But the Gold Coast have got that habit of doing that. Like, they even sort of had a big lead against Werribee and squandered that, and I suppose they were baying for blood after that.
Yeah, they were. They definitely were squandering that lead. One other thing to note is, Casey is starting to fall off what they were last year, where they were, winning everything. So, Casey, the depth at Melbourne might not be what it was. Ever since they went up to Brisbane, I think it was, or Gold Coast, and they lost up there, they haven't been playing their best footy, so be interesting how they go on the back end of the year. But at the moment, you have to say Gold Coast, with their player availability, are probably one of the teams to beat.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, they've just got quality across all their lines. They've got Jimmy Cedars, who's sort of struggling to get into that AFL side, and Mac Andrew.
Mac Andrew,
and all those sort of players just waiting in the wings to get a spot in that AFL side. Queensland football's pretty healthy with the two Queensland teams, two out of the three, sitting in the top eight, and Southport just sitting outside. Obviously, Southport's had its injury worries, and we'll have a chat to Steve very shortly about that as well. We'll move across to the VFLW.
Let's get straight in the VFLW,
The Western Bulldogs, another win this year. Three wins so far. They probably should have seven, but anyway, they've much improved from last year when they were zero wins. So, for the whole season, 6-4-40 defeated the Collingwood Football Club, 3-6-24. Down at Moorabbin on Saturday, again, 5-hour wait between games. How annoying would that be? 12 o'clock start for the VFLW, 10 past 5 for the VFL. Something needs to be done there. The Southern Saints, 4-7-31, defeated the Casey Demons, 3-5-23. Deakin University, now this is another game that really could have probably been played at the main stadium either before or after the men's game. 3-7-25 Geelong to Port Melbourne, 5-2-32. So Port Melbourne had a 7-point win there. On Saturday afternoon at Arden Street, the Box Hill Hawks had a comfortable win against North Melbourne, 5-3-33 to 1-5-11. Latrobe University, Essendon, had a nice 6-goal win against Darabin, 6-6-42 to 1-2-8. And this is the result that really surprised me. And I was playing at Williamstown, but the Williamstown women's program is probably having the best year it has had since its inception in 2018. 7-8-50, defeat at Carlton, 2 straight goals, so a 38-point win. Williamstown sitting on 5-5 right now, so they there's probably a couple of games they should have won early in the year as well. But they're a real contender now for the finals in the women's as well. So it's the program's finally coming good, because I think previously to this year, the best season Williamstown had, I think, was 3.5 wins. So credit to Liam Kavanagh and Jeff Andrews for their football program there, that the women's is obviously improving a lot.
Yeah, they definitely improved. I mean, they did have a few bad luck things. I mean, they had an alignment with Adelaide, and then COVID sort of hurt that. They would have had a few good players coming in from Adelaide, AFLW team. That would have really pushed them up. But I reckon that sent them back probably 18 months.
Yeah.
Now they just seem to, they seem to have recruited well. They're 5-5. They're a chance to make the finals. They haven't got a bad percentage. So they could be one that, makes the finals, the first one, which would be great for them. Southern Saints have bounced back. I know they started off pretty shaky, but they're sitting in second on the ladder. So good to see Southern Saints doing well. And the VFLW season, we're 10 games in, so we're a fair way into the VFLW season as well. And hopefully Darabin can get a win before the season ends. Good for their morale to see them get a win.
Yeah, you hope that, because it's not nice seeing any team go through the whole year and at the end of the year being 0-14 or 0-16. Like I remember seeing it with the Bulldogs last year, and the only way is up really after you have a season like that. But Darabin obviously also has the being a standalone club in the VFLW. If you had the choice between going to Darabin or say Collingwood, the next door neighbour, as a player, where would you choose to go?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, isn't it? The two clubs pretty close to each other, and Darabin, I mean, as we know, they're a club that has always been a powerhouse, but of recent times with the AFL program, starting with AFLW, they've lost some of their probably best players. So they're just in a rebuilding phase. Hopefully they can get some young players come through. And they can keep bouncing back. As we mentioned, coaches' night tonight, so looking forward to getting an insight from all the coaches around the VFL. But we've got a few minutes until we do get the coaches on. But I want to talk Cam Eanes, Lauchy. Little things going on around the traps. First thing I want to say is I think we're losing touch with reality. Some of the clubs are really starting to put up their prices, and it's starting to irk some fans off. So don't know what the magic fix is, but we need to go back to just a traditional barbecue, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. Like, I'd like, not going out to the hangar yesterday would have been interesting to see what that food van on that outer side was charging for the basics.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
And all that, but I'm guessing it'd be around $7 a pie, $5 a can of Coke or something ridiculous like that. Go get yourself a second mortgage, or give up your firstborn. It is very interesting what some clubs are charging, and that was the attraction of the VFL.
It was, and they're starting to lose a bit of touch with reality. Back in the day, every club had volunteers, and now they're sadly gone by the wayside, a lot of VFL clubs, and catering companies have come in, and they've got to make their money, and clubs have got to get a cut of that money, and the catering companies are paying their staff, so up go all the prices, so... Yeah. I mean, and to be brutally honest, the loser out of all this is the fan, because, you could go to the VFL back in the day with the family and it was a cheap day out, but it's starting to become a bit like a AFL game to eat. So which isn't good.
You remember the protest I did at Port Melbourne when I saw the Burra Burgers at $15?
Yeah.
I went to Bunnings.
You did. You went to Bunnings and got a $2.50 snag. So
they were $2.50 loaded up before I went in.
You did, and I think that's the biggest thing is, yeah, sometimes we've got to remember to not lose touch with reality because if fans come to one game and they see the prices are too high, they might not come back. So we want to make the VFL as affordable for families as possible.
Yeah.
Families come to the VFL because they probably, to be brutally honest, some families can't afford to go to an AFL game and potentially drop $200 on a day. You know, then come to the VFL and maybe spend $50-$60 for a day out. So got to keep in touch with that reality.
That reminds me, we need to get the great man from the Northern Bull Ants on in a couple of weeks, Wag.
We need to have a chat to Wag, yeah.
Because we've got to see how he's progressing with the board in pushing the Preston Pie Floater.
Yeah, Preston Pie Floater will win them the canteen trophy and guarantee you that if they can arrange that. We're going to go to a break now. I'm going to be back after the break with our first special guest in Steve Daniel, the senior coach of the Southport Football Club. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC.
This game's had it all today, folks, at the MCG, the home of football. This is Maker. Oh, deep on the left half forward flank, punt road end, he chips it onto App. Oh, App comes to memory, turns on his left and bang! That's it! That's it! Memory has kicked his 100th goal of the season!
Thanks, Rex. Plan your celebration with the Tobin Brothers Funerals Memory Maker app. Find out more at tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC with a point of our first special guest. As we mentioned, for anyone who's just joining us, it's Coaches Night tonight on VFL Rewind. So we've done it, I think we did it a few years ago, where we got all the coaches on, and it's the stars of the line tonight. Well, Mick Barlow is our VFA legend, so it works out well. And first cab off the rank is the senior coach of the Southport Sharks Football Club in Steve Daniel. And he joins us on the line now, Steve Daniel. Steve, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us. You there, Steve?
He's hung up on
us. We'll try and get Steve back on the line in one sec. Yeah, Lausche, if you just want to have a bit of a chat about the upcoming games, we'll try and get Stevie back on the line.
Yeah, I think Steve's hung up, or he's still sitting on the beach with his speedos on, mate. So I will try to get the games for this week. So this week's games at VFL level, Southport. We're talking about Southport. They're playing the Casey Demons up there. Coburg are playing Werribee. Port Melbourne have got the Suns. Box Hill and Williamstown at 2:05. The game that we will cover on 3WBC. Carlton playing Frankston at Icon Park. And I think we've got Steve on the line.
I think we've got Steve on the line now, and he joins us now, the senior coach of the Southport Sharks, Steve Daniel. Steve, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you.
Boys, great to be here. Great to be here.
G'day, SJ. Lausche speaking. How are you, mate?
Lausche, how are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm always all right when I speak to you, mate. Now, you've had the week off, beautiful, sunny Gold Coast. Did you get the speedos out and work on the tan up there?
I didn't exactly put the speedos on, mate, because I don't really have the rig, mate, to put the speedos on. But I'm sure a few of the young boys would have got the speedos on, mate, and got out to the beach.
Now, it took a while for that buy to come, in all seriousness, and you're sitting 4 and 5. Obviously, you probably want to be sitting somewhere more like 6 and 3 or 7 and 2, but injuries have got you. Have you seen some of the young guys that have come in to cover those injuries play this year?
Yeah, look, you hit the nail on the head, mate. Our last 2 years, I suppose, being in the VFL this time of year, we're certainly... we're normally 7 and 2, or certainly up there, and it's been a little bit different, and we've had to draw on, I suppose, the use of our lifts this year in particular. And look, I suppose a few of the young boys have got an opportunity, and look, they are new to our outfit this year. Young Malloy's been terrific, young Sexton in the forward line has been great too, and a few of the other boys that I suppose didn't get an opportunity last year, George comes to mind straight away, he's been great across half back. They've really stood up. I suppose they've had to. They've been given an opportunity and they've had to grab it with both hands. And and really make a fist of it. So they've been coming along quite well, yeah.
Yeah. Any of the boys return to the Quaffle or their local clubs over the weekend?
Only a couple. We mainly gave the majority of our lifts a week off. As you mentioned before, we're the only team not to have a bye leading into the weekend. And you could see in the last game that we played against Box Hill there, we simply just weren't good enough. We looked tired. It had been a long 9 weeks for us, and the practice match as well. We looked a little bit beat up, a little bit beat, and they were just simply too good, mate. So we really welcome the break and hope we're really refreshed and we look forward to next week's game.
Steve, Ryan Banks-Smith, I watched him against Box Hill and I thought a bit of promise. Can you tell us a little bit about, for us Melbourne siders, a little bit about Ryan Banks-Smith, because he looks like an exciting prospect.
Yeah, look, he's a young fella. He was originally from Aspley, so he did play in the VFL in Aspley first year, and we picked him up, or lucky to pick him up this year. He won the best and fairest for Aspley. Actually, he won the league medal in the Quaffle last year, the Quaffle medal. So we picked him up and he come across. He's been really good for us. He's one of the young fellas, obviously, that's been given an opportunity this year. With a few injuries we've had at the club, and he's taken with both hands. He's been really good for us.
And also, it's great to see you got two big forwards, two talls who you got the luxury of playing one forward and one in the ruck. And obviously, the great man in Braden Crosley, who has been absolutely phenomenal this year, and big Frey Sterlo is back this year. So how are you going with them two boys moving him in between both positions?
Yeah, look, it's a luxury we're lucky to have, and of course we're very fortunate to do that. Last year, it was really working both really well for us having both of them, and of course Big Fraser, as we know, unfortunately broke down towards the end of the year, and we lost him going to the finals. This year, at the moment, they're both working really well together, so it's definitely great to have one of them forward and to have one in the ruck. So it works really well for us.
We've got the mid-season draft coming up, Steve. Any of your boys a possibility to occupy any of those 9 available spots?
Look, I've had a couple of clubs ring and inquire, but I think we might be okay. It would be great if one of them, and when I speak of one of them, if young Malloy or young Sexton might be given an opportunity. But then you just mentioned our two ruckmen. There's a few clubs out there at the moment, of course, that have got a lot of injuries to their ruckman, that where one of those boys might get an opportunity just through clubs having injuries might get picked up. But no, I don't think we'll be lucky enough to get anyone picked up this time round.
Now, I know you don't set the draft rules and all that, but with the mid-season draft, if you were a player in the mid-season draft, would you want... I know the players go there with an open mind and they can last, maybe 4 months on the list and then get delisted, but would you like to see some more security for mid-season draftees?
Without a doubt. So I know there's a couple of boys, so I did mention it to you, if you put your name down in the mid-season draft, they said, SJ, not interested. I'm not going to a club for 6 months.
Yeah.
So I think that answers its question on its own.
You would want at least, I know if I was putting myself in the draft at a younger age, I would have wanted at least 18 months, probably 2 years.
Yeah, I totally agree. Security there. And you're giving a lot up to go to a club to help them out, remember?
Yep.
So there should be security there to look after yourself.
Steve, two of the South Australian boys, McGuinness and Edwards, how they settled in? They started off the year really well and they're playing some good, consistent footy.
Yeah, look, they are. They've settled in quite well and they're going okay. So, but as you know, when you come to a new club, it does take a little while to settle in. And our back line has changed a little bit. The structure of our whole side had to change a little bit, probably from around 2 when we lost, some pretty good personnel. And Mackenzie Willis, of course, is probably our best defender. And when he done his ACL, of course, in that tragic incident of training, and we lost him and we had to reshuffle the decks a little bit, the boys have been put into some different roles. But they're holding the fort down quite well, and they're going well. They're settling really well, yes.
Are there many boys, I guess, in the next few weeks who you might get back on the track, or are they all still like long-term prospects?
No, unfortunately, it's in my 5 years at the club, we just haven't had the injuries like this. It's a bit sad. We had one with a broken neck, broken foot, ACLs. It's just everything's broken. It just hasn't been great. So Max Pescud, we are expecting back, and of course he's very important to us, as is Mitch Johnson, Zach Foote. They're due back, I think, for about the last 4 to 5 games. But coming back at that time, what sort of an impact they'll have for us coming in the finals, we still think we can get there with what we've got at the moment, and we can do some damage if we can get in there. We've just got our fingers crossed and just trying to hang in there at the moment. Look, I believe our young group's been playing terrific up until the weekend against Box Hill, where they're simply just too good for us. But up until then, you know, we've played the top teams. Brisbane only beat us by 3 goals. Gold Coast Suns, we got beat by 2 points. We could have won that in the dying seconds. We've been hanging in there, and the boys have been terrific. We just haven't had the footy gods, I suppose, on our side a little bit, and we're just trying to hang in there. And I feel if we can just win a couple of close ones that falls our way, we'll be there at the end. And if we can get 3 or 4 of the boys back that are due back, we're going to give the bottom end of the finals a bit of a shake if we get in there, which will be quite exciting, because I'm just not sure how far and what damage we can do if we do happen to fall in there.
I'll tell you what, Steve, I've got you backed in right now, probably 5th or 6th, so you'll be in the finals. Don't book your holidays for September. Two blokes that played against Box Hill, Shining Lights, Foggo. Where does he come from, Jed Foggo?
Yeah, Jed Foggo's a Palm Beach boy. He was in the Gold Coast Suns Academy.
Yep.
So we picked him up from the Gold Coast Suns Academy. Only young fella. He got his opportunity, I think it was about round 4, he'd come into our team again, just through the injuries with a few of the boys going out, and got an opportunity. He's been quite good for us up forward.
Yeah, no, he kicked 3 against Box Hill, so he did stand out in that game. And number 32, Matt Gahan. Is he any relation to the former Brisbane Bears player from 87, Neil Gahan?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think he is, but Gahan's been with us now for a couple of years. He played in the grand final last year. He's a terrific player, and he's just starting to really mature and come of age a little bit. He's got more of a responsibility this year, of course, because we lost Clark out of the back line, Ryan Davis, Seb Tape, Macca Willis, as I touched on before, of course, going out of the side with the ACL. So he's had to stand up and, I suppose, take a more mature role and be more of a leader down there, and he's certainly doing that. So we're really happy with the way Garney's coming along at the moment.
Steve, as we mentioned, as Coach's Night, how have you seen, I guess, the flow of football this year? Has it been much of a different in standard of play or game plan from the VFL perspective this year, or a club sort of doing a similar sort of gun and run sort of situation that they might have done last year as well?
It looks a little bit more free-flowing. I reckon it's picked up a little bit. Now, what I put that down to... standalone teams, like look at Werribee at the moment, there Mickey's got them flying at the moment, they're playing some pretty exciting footy. AFL teams, a few teams have obviously recruited non-AFL players on their list, they're a little bit stronger. North Melbourne comes to mind straight away, they've certainly picked up a little bit. Competition in all, I think, picked up a little bit, and it's great, it really is. Each week you're just coming up against teams and you just don't know, you know, whether you're a chance or not. It's really, really challenging. It's just great competition. It's great to be a part of. We're loving it.
I think that the rule changes have sort of helped that, I think, I guess, in terms of you've got a lot more experience out in the ground without the under 21 rule. And yeah, I think you're right. I think the footy has been exciting this year. Final one for me, Steve. Boyd Woodcock, he won a box of chips. He does it every year. He comes to Box Hill. We give him a box of chips, Stevie. How's he been this year? I mean, I notice, and correct me if I'm wrong, he might be playing a bit of a different role this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Look, he certainly started off playing a different role. He certainly did. He wanted to play more of a forward. He certainly would like to be back on an AFL list. And look, he's got a lot of talent, the kid. There's no ifs or buts about it. He's a talent. Would love him to play in the midfield because he can win a game off his own boot. He went down forward, and then I just went to him for a couple of games once we started getting a few more injuries and said, mate, do you mind going into the midfield, you know, to help us out in there? And he said, no worries, I'll do it. So he goes in there, and then we're pushing forward when we need some more, you know, a few more goals kicked. So he's been going forward, mid, forward, mid. So he's been getting shoved around probably a little bit more than what he'd like. But he just does whatever's best for the team. He's been terrific. So, yes, he has been playing a bit of a different role to last year.
He's a good man, Boyd. One more thing before we let you go, Steve. The great man, Peter Lauscher, he mentioned before we went on air, he goes, my favourite coach is on tonight, Steve Daniel. And I said, well, why is he your favourite? And he said, he's always looking after me, Lauscher said. So, Lauscher, if you want to say one final thing to Steve, say thanks for getting your nice jumper last week.
Yeah, no, thanks for that heritage jumper last week, Steve, the number 35 jumper that you organised for me. So at one stage I thought I was going to miss out, and I've set Braden Crosley a task to give me the clash jumper now. He's gone quiet.
You there, Steve? I think we've lost Steve. We'll try and get Steve Daniel back up on the line if we can. If we can't get him, we really appreciate him joining us tonight. And it was a pleasure to chat to Steve.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a pleasure chatting to him. Jeez, a bit abrupt.
I'm not sure. The phone is playing up, so because we tried to get him on before and it wouldn't answer. So I'm not sure what is going on with the phone line. But yeah, we appreciate Steve joining us tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm sure he'll give me a message if he's heard what we've said towards the end of that interview.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to go to a break now, though. We'll try and get our next guest on the line. Hopefully these phones aren't playing up too bad. But we'll try and get the next guest on the line in the senior coach of the Frankston Football Club in Danny Ryan. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC
sport. M&R Davis Constructions have been building quality new homes for over 35 years. Let Mick and Robin project manage and build your new home or renovation. Their experience and guidance, along with attention to detail and integrity, shows why M&R Davis Constructions have been at the top of their game for nearly four decades. M&R Davis Constructions also build decks, pergolas and gazebos and are members of the Master Builders Association of Victoria. So give Mick a call on 0418 558 695. That's 0418 558 695. M&R Davis Constructions are proud 11-year broadcast sponsors of 94.1 FM, 3WBC Football.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC. We've got the point of our second special guest on the line. Hopefully these phone gremlins can be very kind to us. And the senior coach of the Frankston Football Club in Danny Ryan has joined us now. Danny, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you and thanks for joining us.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
G'day, Danny. Lauscher speaking. Congratulations on a relatively good year so far, 3-5 early on. Who are some of the young guys that have really surprised you in that Dolphins lineup that have played in the first 8 weeks or 9 weeks?
Yeah, well, we have had an influx of youngsters come in this year, Lauscher. So, and you know, we're probably a little bit unlucky, I suppose, and we stuffed up a couple of games. The Willy game, you can't kick 5-17 and expect to win. That's not good footy. And we gave Port a bit of a start, so we could actually be in better shape than we are. But it's a new team, and a lot of youngsters have come in. Young Mitch Savowski, he was unlucky to get drafted, and he's shown a fair bit on the ball and a bit of wing, learning a couple of new roles for him. Young lad out of Eastern, Trent Marotta, has come in for the last two or three weeks. He's been playing forward, and he's just starting to get the knack of the game at VFL level. So he took a really nice catch and kicked a couple of goals on the weekend, so he's been going well. Jess McManus, who was a ruckman for Dandenong last year out of the under-18s, we've turned him into sort of a bit of a key defender, and along with another young lad out of the Dragons called Darcy Gilbert that's really shown a bit. Unfortunately, he had the big task of playing on Cal Coleman-Jones a couple of weeks ago, so he found out what AFL reserves or VFL footy is really about. But, yeah, there are some of the young ones. Ben Hempel's had a game as well. And Lockie Reed is another boy out of Vermont and Eastern that we'll be expecting to see sort of later as the year unfolds.
As we know, the mid-season draft is only 48 hours away, and Frankston has got a very, very good record over the years of getting players drafted. Are you expecting to maybe lose one or two of your players to AFL clubs on Wednesday night?
It's a catch-22, isn't it? Look, we want what's best for the boys, and if they get a shot at the big league and get a chance to go full-time into a program, you know, we wish them all the best. But obviously, that would diminish us a little bit. But I think there's been a bit of noise about sort of three or four of our players. Until they're signed on the dotted line last year or their names are called out, they're still ours. But, yeah, a bit like you guys, we'll watch with bated breath. And I'm sure, look, you know, some of the coaches at the other standalone clubs, well, they'll be in the same boat. They'll have had interest from AFL clubs. There's a lot of injuries at AFL at this time of year, and they're looking for mature age, ready-to-go players. And so we've all got, you know, two or three of those that sort of fit the bill.
Danny, we had Riley Stoddard on a few weeks ago, and he was a really impressive young man. Really left a bit of a, you know, impression on me of how he sets the culture down there at Frankston. How is it having guys like Will Fordham and Riley around? Because they seem to, you know, really want to build this club down there at Frankston.
Yeah, undoubtedly, and that's a good call. And Riley and Kai Owens have both stepped up to be vice captains this year within the leadership group. And Will Fordham's obviously taken over as captain with Trent Minor from Josh Newman last year. And Josh Newman, an outstanding captain that we had for the last 5 years, a really, really strong leader. And for him to sort of move on and do his thing, you know, we wish him all the best. He's going really well coaching Mornington. But it left a bit of a vacuum, and everyone was a little bit, you know, not worried, but sort of wondering who would step up. And certainly in that leadership board, Kai Owens and Riley Stoddard have really stepped up to support Will and Trent as captains. So, yeah, it's been really pleasing. You know, so they've got a real shared leadership across the whole playing group. And Riley's really matured. You know, he had his chance, and hopefully he gets another one. But, you know, drafted up to Sydney a few years ago, and by his own admission, you know, he probably didn't make the most of that opportunity. And so we just hope that he does get another shot.
Young Bailey Lambert, he's also one that's really impressed me this year. How's he going about things? I've seen he had a pretty good game against Brisbane on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I've just come out of review, and the coaches do individual line awards, and Bailey's won the forwards line player of the week 3 weeks in a row now. And it's not based on kicking goals and taking big marks, and we know he can do that. He's quite a good aerialist for a guy his size. But what he's doing is his contest work and his defence work has been really impressive. And he's another one that's in the leadership group, and so he's really leading by example as well. So he's in a rich vein of form at the moment, Bailey, and if he keeps working the way he's working, the goals will come. So, yeah, he's going well.
Kai Owens has had a relatively good year as well for the Dollies. And Nick Minchin, Glenelg recruit, Ruck. Any interest in him from AFL clubs? Because obviously a few clubs are a little bit down on their tall stocks.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Lashie, with Minch. Look, he's 26 years old. He's maybe a little bit old for what they're maybe looking for. And he's probably, look, he's 201. He's probably just a touch short. But he's certainly been a great contributor to us. Given us a real bit of steel around that our ruck stocks. And we lost Austin Brakey a little while back to a PCL, and Tom Roberts is still in rehab, you know, the guy that came back from Collingwood for us. So our rucks are a little bit thin at the moment. So there's a big load on Minch. Minch and James Rendell have sort of been handling that. But Kai Owens, the one you mentioned before, he's also been a real jack-in-the-box this year. We moved him into the midfield and sort of taken advantage of his spring-heeledness, and he's got a real basketball sense about how he plays, and he's been able to really, you know, finally get some confidence in his body that he hasn't had for the last couple of years, and he's been a real revelation joining, you know, Fordham and Minot and Riley and those guys in the midfield. So, you know, really, and he's probably buzzing along on the good year that his brother's having at the Saints. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he might join him at the Saints.
There's only one player that you would love to have in the team, but has moved over interstate to the Sandflint, Billy McCormack. Another player who could play ruck, and just talking about that, you know, there's been a few people mentioned that he might be a mid-season draft prospect. Has there been any talk? Has anyone made calls down to you to see if any players, you know, a sniff to be drafted on Wednesday night?
From our boys this year? Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I was three clubs on the phone today. You know, there's probably about seven or eight clubs that have, you know, been asking for GPS on. And there's been five or six players that have had interest on, and some players have ebbed and flowed. Matt Johnson from Beaconsfield's been kicking goals. There's been some interest in him. Early in the season, Colby Nainer and Lockie Riley had some interest. But really, the big two are Stoddart and Owens. Yeah, and Trent Minot's got a significant little bit of interest as well. So, but as I said, until their name's called out and they've signed a contract and the ink dries, they'll just still be mighty Dolphins with us.
Now, how's your academy going down on the Mornington Peninsula, mate?
Yeah, going really well, actually. So we upped it this year from 25 to 30, and so that's 30 players that are additional to our list of 45. Mm-hmm. And they train every 2 weeks. They have a session they train before the senior squad trains. Five of them train with us every week, just on rotation, so we keep them pretty close to us. We've got some long-term injuries at the moment, and we're looking really hard at some of those boys in the academy that we, like we did the year before with Kai Turner and Finn Ryan, because they're sort of part of our program. They understand the game plan. You know, they understand the training drills. They're coached by our coaches. We get some special guest coaches in. We've had Luke Bruce. We've got Tim Tarano coming in a couple of weeks. We'll have Justin Lepich and Matty Lloyd with any luck later in the year. Yeah, it's going really well, mate, and we're just, you know, developing it. It's a really simple program. They have got a really strong weights program. They come to training and work on their fundamentals, and then once they come off the track and our senior boys go onto the track, they come in and watch a repeat of the VFL review, and so they get the education and the learnings. And, you know, they're in our academy, but they're effectively local players, so we're just trying to do our bit as a footy club to help the local clubs and produce some better players for them. And if it pays us back with a few players that might come through, like a Kyle Jacobson or a Tom Small, they're both academy graduates that are on our list. So, yeah, we think it's going well, and we think it's part of what we can do to sort of develop a pipeline. There's no VFL reserves anymore. There's a good argument there, so we could still have one, but sort of this is way one way we think we can contribute.
Danny, we just had Steve Ryan, Steve Daniel on just before you, and I asked him the question about how does he see the standard of the VFL this year. I'll ask you the same question. How do you see the standard now that the under 21 rule has disappeared? Have you noticed much of a change in, I guess, the game plans of some teams you come up against?
Yeah, look, some clubs and some, it's probably more the standalone clubs, I suppose. If your recruiting and your list demographic can change, you would change it if you can. And we probably had a less successful this year in recruiting more mature age players than we did the year before. And so this year we've probably gone more with building what our next team over the next 5 years can look like with, you know, there was 11 NAB League boys, or Coates League boys, that came into our squad this year. And some of them haven't played yet. Like I said, you know, Lockie Reedy hasn't played, but we'll be going out to those guys and Justin Davies and Trent Marotta and the Mitch Sabowskis probably in the next month or so and looking to sign them and extend their contracts probably for another 2 years. So we see a real future with them in front of us, you know, and putting them around the Minots and the Fordhams and the Owens of the world. But, look, I think it hasn't really changed for us in terms of our list demographic. We've still, you know, we're still probably still playing 10 or 11 under-22s every week. That's just the nature of our list until it changes over. I think some of the other clubs, their list probably has changed. I know, you know, Werribee, Southport is always probably more that way. And Werribee's certainly a mature list, and they've got a real shot. I really rate them as one of the best standalones. And you know, they've moved up to where they, you know, they probably should have been in the finals last year, and they're sitting fourth on the ladder now. And that's probably testament to what they've got and what they've built there. And we're a few years away from that, so we don't really look at it as big way. There'll be games that the standard's really high and the contest is really strong, and there'll be other games where a team maybe has a bit more of a whip hand. And I think that's... So it hasn't changed a lot, I don't think, from the, you know, the small sample, seven games we've played. I guess we'll know more sort of by the end of the year, but I don't think it's had a big change, a big effect, no.
One more question for me, Danny. The Saturday night fixtures and Friday night fixtures at Frankston. How good are the crowds? I was about to ask, have you got a preference these days when you play your games at home?
Oh, look, Friday or or Saturday night, Lashy. We love the night games down here. We've got the big four candlesticks. So they look pretty good. when we just get Rocky to turn them all the way on, mate. Don't we? He turns them half on, but when they're up and going, mate, it's amazing. And you know, and the crowd, the faithful, as they're called, up on the hill. Yeah. With the bongos and the bugles and stuff like that, it really Saturday night footy on the weekend with Brisbane and the family area down behind the goals. We had off kick at half time.
You know what?
And we were lucky with the weather. It was a nice mild night, but certainly an atmosphere that's worth getting along to.
One more thing they've got to bring back on a Friday or Saturday night in Frankston is not at the football ground, but at the Grand Hotel, the revolving dance floor.
Oh, you'll be back to the 21st century before you know it.
Since we finished on a funny note, Danny, I want to ask one more question. How's the fog going in the club rooms? I know that sometimes I look up to the coaches' boxes at Frankston, and it looks like we're driving up to Mount Buller, and the car's all fogged up.
Yeah. we've figured it out. We've got a warm air conditioner in the home rooms. I'm not sure what they got in the away rooms, but it used to be you'd be screaming for the rag to get the windows clean so you could actually see the game. But no, it hasn't been too bad this year, boys. It hasn't been too bad.
Good to hear. Well, Danny, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Yeah, it's always good to see Frankston Footy Club on a night. The hill's always rocking. So keep up the great work down there, and good luck for the back end of the year.
Thanks, Danny.
All right, thank you, boys. No worries. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Danny Ryan, senior coach of the Franks Football Club. Good man. Always feel for the coaches out there when they get fogged up. They can't see nothing. So I had to ask him about that one. We're going to go to a break now. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to chat to Mick Barlow for the VFA/VFL Legion segment. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor. Piranha Snack Foods are an Australian-owned snack food manufacturer who produce great quality snacks including cashew mix, soy crisps, Piranha popcorn, and everyone's favourite salt and vinegar potato grills. Piranha Snack Foods can be found at Coles supermarkets or your local IGA. Check out the full range of products at piranhacorp.com.au. Piranha Snack Foods are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. For all our loyal listeners who do tune in each week, as they know, 7:45 on Monday night, we chat to a former great of the competition and reminisce about their great career. And we've got an absolute ripper on tonight. He's done it's basically a textbook role of what you'd hope from a VFL player. Not come through the VFL program, not come through the TAC Cup, get on a VFL list, get themselves on an AFL list, enjoy it, have a great career at AFL level, and come back to the VFL and be a part of it. And I think that's pretty much full circle of what we'd love to see, you know, loyal fans like me and you, Laoshi. And we've got lucky enough to have a man on the line now who played in total 141 games at AFL level. He won, I was wrong, Laoshi, I thought he won two, but he won three Ross Glendennings. That's pretty amazing.
Not a bad effort.
Not a bad effort at all. He also... in the Fremantle best ever team since 95, a 25-year team. Obviously, Fothergill round medal, which is obviously a pretty prestigious award. And, best first-year player in the AFL as well in 2010. And he joins on the line now, Michael Barlow, senior coach now of Werribee Football Club in the VFL. Welcome to VFL, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you, and thanks for joining us.
Evening, team. I appreciate all of that. brings back some good memories, the playing days at VFL level, and doing the full 360 and getting back involved now, coaching. It makes me feel actually relatively old, but maybe I am going that way.
G'day, Mick. Laoshi speaking. Now, Shepparton United was the club you were recruited from, is that correct?
It was, Laoshi, yep.
And was it the great man Mark Stone that got you?
Stoney played a role, and he's still playing a role for us at Werribee in the recruiting space, so... I'd marvel at the kilometres he's done for the club, up and down the Hume Highway in particular, to kind of the GV and Ovens and Murray. So it was Stoney that got me down to Chernside Park back in 08 for a training session, or late 07,
And yeah, from there, I was pretty convinced to play for Werribee, transitioning out of the GVFL.
Did you need much convincing to come to Werribee? And just going back one track, was there any interest from a TAC Cup level to get you down to a training session or anything like that? Because as we know with Clayton Oliver, you know that he got delisted from, I think it was the Pioneers, and he had to go to the Bush Rangers one way, vice versa. Was there any interest at TAC level when you were a young fella?
There wasn't really, no. I think I was a bit of a late developer physically when I was kind of coming through school. And I think it's probably still relevant nowadays in those pathway programs. If you do miss out early, it is hard to kind of force your way through the back door. So missed out kind of at that under 15 age, and then I went away to boarding school at Kilmore, and from there it was. To be honest, I wasn't up to the level, but at the same time, I was probably moving out of the Murray Bush Rangers area into Calder Cannons area, and not a huge amount of sample size on who I was or what I was, and I was pretty content just playing local footy and school football through my junior years before finishing up school and going to play for Sheppard United.
Now, you were at Werribee 2 or 3 years before you got drafted, and at that time there was an alignment with North Melbourne, and this is what always surprises me. They had you under their noses for about 2 or 3 years. Was there ever any interest from North Melbourne?
There was, yeah. I love playing. It's a real eye-opener kind of coming out of local football and coming to a VFL club. You kind of become institutionalised with the country football lifestyle, and training, whilst it's not optional, it's a little bit less serious and not as structured and organised as what I experienced when I first got to Werribee, and then to kind of rub shoulders with AFL players was it was pretty cool. And initially I probably thought I'd play a fair bit of reserves football at Werribee when I first arrived, and you're competing for probably 6 to 10 spots per week against kind of 50 other guys on the Werribee list. And, Simon Atkins, saw enough in me to play me as a forward in 08. And, I just felt like I kind of played my role and was up to the level. I didn't feel like I was at all above the level, in particular in that first year. But just loved the transition from, I had no idea what kind of professionalism looked like in terms of a football landscape, so I had to kind of get your game afterwards on a CD or a USB and watch your vision back and have one or two coaches kind of giving you feedback on games and a weights program. All of that was pretty surreal to me, and I just lapped it up.
2009, JJ Liston Medal Night, finished second on 16 votes, just behind Myles Sewell. How was that night leading up? Were you going in, thinking you were a chance at all, or how did all that night play out?
Yeah, well, I went the year before. I got invited to the JJ Liston, and I was confused because I thought I had an okay year, but I was like, why am I getting invited for this? I think the only reason I got invited was because Podsy Adley won it, James Podsy Adley, and there was no other Werribee player invited, so they nicely thought he and I were quite close, and he wanted to celebrate it with me. But I made the team of the year that year, and from there, that probably opened my eyes to probably the progressions I've made at that level. I didn't get any votes in the list in that year, but fast forward 12 months, I think our side was, I think we finished ninth, so we didn't actually have a great year as a team. So I probably thought, one of the better teams would produce the JJ Lister medalist, and that's how it was. I think he got two votes in the last game of the year to pip me. I remember hitting the lead in the last round, and all the early tight Dom Gleeson went up and did the double Cobras, and we thought we'd won it. But Sully, fortunately for Sully, and I suppose unfortunately for me, he took the gong, and I was runner up to him, which I'm not at all disheartened because Myles was a great contributor to the VFL system and competition.
Yeah, you're still a very young fellow, 35, turning 36. When you have a bye with Werribee, do you go back to local footy and have a kick yourself?
Well, I did last year once. I went and played for Sheppard United last year. I think I played a Friday night game against Port Melbourne.
Yep.
And went up the next day. I don't get a lot of time on weekends doing, you know, bits and pieces of media stuff and obviously coaching and a young family and whatnot. So it's a bit down the pecking order in terms of priorities at the moment, playing a game of footy, but I will sneak one in this year. I'll look to go back and lace up for Sheffield United again. And they're not going so well. I think they've only won the one game again this year, so I look to help them out and feel sore for the next 7 or 8 days.
Like yourself, I'm a big fan of the Northern Territory Football League. I go up there for 2 or 3 weeks a year to watch a bit of footy. Your views on VFL players going up there, because Dom Brew went up there a couple of years ago, won the Nicholls Medal, played all the season there. And then when he came back about 4 or 5 weeks in, he looked a little bit burnt out. What's your view on players going up there after the Dom Brew experience? Because he did, after that year he won the Nicholls, he did look a little bit sort of tired around round four or five in the VFL season.
Yeah, I think, well, he's looking good this year, and he didn't play in the NTFL last year, so he's really fresh and performing at a big level for us at the moment.
Yeah.
We love having him. Now, that was a pretty unique circumstance, the one you're referring to. It was kind of the COVID period.
Yep.
So a lot of the guys hadn't played footy footy was ripped away from them for that whole year. You don't begrudge guys for wanting to go and quarantine and just play. So we kind of handle it a little bit differently now with our players. Like, clearly their finals run into our pre-season matches and... Yep. Large chunks of our pre-season, so there is kind of scope for players to play a couple of games or whatever it might be, but we just have to be really transparent with the clubs up there that when the practice matches, the trial games come around for us, that we need to look to prioritise our guys playing for us, which I think compromises what a lot of the NTFL clubs look to do. But I love the competition. I love going up there and involving myself with Southern Districts for a little bit, and such great people up there, such great organisations, and footy's just footy there, isn't it? It's cool. I think that's the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah, Southern Districts is probably their country club. Like, I know Darwin itself is pretty small, but they call that area rural Darwin already, and it's only 20 km out of the CBD. Is there any chance that we'll see Michael Barlow maybe play one or two for the Crocs this year?
I wouldn't rule it out going up to Darwin and playing for the Crocs, but again, like I said, young family, quite busy. a few other things going on, it does slip down the priority order.
Yep.
But maybe if I can get up and take the Darwin and take the young family, it's something we'll look into.
As I mentioned off the top, 3 Ross Glendening medals. Where do they sit? They sit pride of place in your, I guess, your career, looking back and reminiscing now, winning 3 of those. Because, for us Melburnians, that's probably the most prestigious medal you can win over in Perth, I guess, for the derby.
Yeah, it is. I often drum up my career and tell people I'm probably better than I was. I always tell them that the 3 Ross Glendening medals I got, I was very lucky. I actually don't think in any of those games I was probably the best player on the ground. So I probably snuck a couple out from where I shouldn't have been in some of those derbies. But I think they're great experiences. I think the question around what was in quite a place in my career was absolutely kind of the period between 2012 and 2015 when we played, regular, 4 years in a row we played finals football. 2013 went to the grand final. 14 and 15 we were top 4 sides and played in a prelim in 15. And those two are really special looking back at. I suppose the high performing team we're involved in. I think when you're involved in a high performing team, there's high performing people, there's like minded people, there's lifelong connections. Of which I was very lucky to be a part of the group.
Final,
was pretty consistent across that period, and we're still pretty close friends today.
Our final one for me, Michael. You made the return to Werribee, I think it was 2018, announced you were coming back as a player, and then obviously COVID happened, and now you're senior coach of Werribee Football Club. How is it, I guess, being full circle, from being a player at Werribee Football Club to now being, I guess, the coach, and probably understanding some of these young fellas who come from the country, what it's like?
There's absolutely kind of empathy with the lifestyle the boys lead. I say it a lot. to kind of our group and any kind of functions I do. You know, the commitment these guys live a, and you know, the mid-season draft's coming up on Wednesday, and I just implore clubs to understand exactly the lifestyle these guys live, and that in an AFL environment, this existence and their performance just clearly becomes better because they're in a higher performing industry, but they can actually put their time and effort into their profession and their careers, where, you know, at the moment we understand BFL footy is second and third fiddle to a lot of these guys' lives because of work and time and what they need to do to balance out work and footy. So, a lot of empathy and, very proud to be kind of leading the club that I once played